From the Hill Country in Texas, broadcasting worldwide, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
Very pleasant good morning to you. Hi there. February 14th. Well, it's Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day. You gonna get your sweetie a chocolate? Yeah, it'd be good. Get the good stuff. Well, big southern wind came in last night, and it's gonna be about 80 degrees here in Dripping Springs, Texas. Kind of interesting, a lot of wind, but it's all from the Gulf. So we're going to go out in the sun and play a little bit later. Hope you're going to have a fun day somewhere, wherever you are. We broadcast live every morning on One Radio Network, 9 to 11 o'clock or so, depending. And my name is Patrick Timpone. We have about over 2,500 shows in our archives. Everything is open to you and yours. Absolutely no cost. We support ourselves by promoting some really cool people and products that get a little commission, and that's what we do. So easy peasy, everything is jump in. If you'd like to be on the show, our number is 888-663-6386. Email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. patrick@oneradionetwork.com. People, probably 98% of you email and the other 2% call, because calling doesn't involve your thumbs, and I think we're just every now and then I have to text somebody on this phone and I just don't get it. But I see the kids do it and they can do it like 48 miles an hour, and you know, they're 8 years old. Well, we're going to have fun this morning. Dr. Thomas Levy is with us. His website is peakenergy.com. So we're going to peak our energy. Dr. Levy goes back to when I was getting into radio. He was in Notre Dame High School back in the early, mid-60s. And started off, he went to Johns Hopkins for biology, and then the Tulane School of Medicine, and then he became a lawyer. My goodness, and a lot of different awards and organizations that he belongs to. Written a lot of books over the years, and his latest one is Hidden Epidemic, Oral Infections Responsible for Most of the Heart Attacks and Breast Cancers. The Toxic Tooth, he wrote, Death by Calcium, Primal Panacea. So he's a big vitamin C fan. And he also is in the movie Root Cause, which is available through Netflix, a movie produced by a good friend, Fraser Bailey, and that I had a small hand in putting together the movie Root Cause. And I wanted to be the star, but, you know, I just couldn't act. Just kidding. Dr. Levy, good morning.
Good morning, Patrick. How are you?
Yeah, we're doing good here. You're down in South Florida now.
Yeah, I've lived in so many places in my life, but my wife's from South America, and she wasn't too happy with Colorado, so we made the big South Florida compromise.
I see. Mm-hmm. Do you, like, play golf with President Trump down there and everything?
Well, I'd take a shot at it if I get the opportunity.
Yeah, me too. I'd love to.
I'd love to talk to him about a bunch of issues that he's on the right side of.
I think he is too.
Especially with regard to health care and medicine. He's making some serious changes, and I'd love to be of assistance with him in doing that.
Well, we should introduce you. Yeah, I think, you know, possibly one of the reasons why the globalist internationalists don't like him a lot, you know, the big pharma people, because he's actually, he didn't said it really clearly, but he actually alluded to the idea that he thought that these kids were getting too many vaccines at too young, early of an age. He's not an anti-vaxxer, but and the rumor is that he knows some people out of Trump Tower. He knew some people that had autistic kids, and so I'm sure that.
Well, I think he knows better than to be a complete anti-vaxxer. That would just cause so much opposition. But you're right. In one of the early debates, second or third debate, he actually got Ben Carson and Rand Paul, two physicians, to agree with him in the middle of the debate.
I remember that.
It was perfectly reasonable to spread the vaccines out rather than hammer the tiniest of infants with a ton of vaccines and their associated adjuvants and toxic substances all at once. Made a lot of sense, and they agreed. So I was pretty much impressed from that point on.
Yeah. And I think, I believe he has appointed Robert F. Kennedy on some kind of a panel looking into this. And of course, such a wonderful guy he is, Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Well, I tell you what, I've become quite impressed with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Because of his willingness to stand on the fact that let's make vaccines better, okay? And I don't know why there should be opposition to making them less toxic and more effective, and maybe we'll get into this later, but that's exactly what properly given vitamin C can do. Vitamin C is known and proven to increase the antibody response to an antigen. Well, duh, that's what a vaccine is trying to do, is give you an antibody response to a given type of infection, pathogen, this, that, or the other. And at the same time, even if you don't think vaccines cause any significant damage at all, any damage they do cause is due to toxins. And vitamin C is the premier antitoxin on the planet. So for goodness sakes, give some vitamin C before and after, even if you don't want to give it to your baby the rest of its life or yourself the rest of its life. Take advantage of the ability to increase what the vaccine is trying to do while substantially, and I guarantee you, you take enough vitamin C, you will virtually eliminate any possibility of any type of idiosyncratic or otherwise toxic reaction to a vaccine.
Really?
Virtually completely.
That's a pretty strong statement there, Dr. Levy. Wow. Ooh. Well, let's break that down a little bit. Why not jump right in there? So if I understand, well, you tell us, talk to us like we're a golden retriever or a young child, like we do, like we like to do here on One Radio Network, because, you know, we're not the, you know, sharpest tool in the shed. I'm not. My listeners are, you know, really on top of it. So these adjuvants that they put in the mercury and aluminum and stuff, they do something that tricks the body into believing that there needs to be some immune response. Is that close?
Well, it depends on the adjuvant and what you're talking about. I mean, the party line for mercury in the vaccine for so long, thimerosal, was as a sterilization, kill any living pathogens left type of thing, which should tell you something right there. If it's killing the pathogen, it's pretty toxic. And other adjuvants, I don't have a laundry list of them, are supposedly there to try to make the vaccine agent more immunoprovocative, if you will.
Huh.
So yes, that's, you know, it's interesting though. I'll make one other sidebar about vaccines, and I'd like to get this idea out there. And hopefully somebody in the pharmaceutical industry is listening, because yes, there is vicious opposition to people who would say anything negative about a vaccine. It's also, to those people who are objective, common knowledge that just like we have political fake news, we have medical fake news. And the medical press is absolutely blinded toward the idea of promoting vaccines in every way possible. Well, I just told you, and I will tell you, that properly dosed vitamin C will protect and resolve against all the conditions for which vaccinations are given. Since you can never bump out a billionaire, I mean, that's a rule of thumb when it comes to economy and politics. You're never going to displace a billionaire. There's nobody more of a billionaire than the pharmaceutical industry. Why doesn't the pharmaceutical industry, knowing full well that even if they don't completely appreciate the breadth of the damage done by vaccines, but know that some damage is done, why don't they just make a placebo vaccine? The medical press will still sell it as the best thing since sliced bread. Practically nobody will start getting sick due to vaccines. And contrary to what they would have you believe, you're not really going to seriously impact infectious diseases, and you can just start promoting good nutrition, vitamin intake. And the pharmaceuticals would not only be making a lot of money, they would start to be heralded months and years down the road as going to great efforts to make their vaccines safe. It'd be a win-win-win-win scenario.
I'll vote for you. I'll vote for you. So let's talk about the vitamin C and what it does with the vaccines, or what's going on. So the damage is done, in your opinion, through vaccines. How?
Pure toxins.
Toxins.
It sounds like an oversimplification, but this expands into another realm, and it all comes back to this, which is all diseases, all conditions, and when I say all, I mean 100%, are mediated / caused by / equivalent with increased oxidative stress in a unique assemblage of biomolecules, some located in one area versus another. But when you oxidize a biomolecule, you take electrons away. We're talking about protein, sugars, structural molecules, enzymes, nucleic acids, any biological molecule that you oxidize and take an electron away from, you render either completely inactive or severely decreased in its natural biological activity. So, the more you oxidize, the more you cause the disease of these biomolecules not functioning at all or the way they should. And the disease process is determined by the nature of the prooxidant toxin, where it gets in the body, its biochemical properties that cause it to go more into fatty tissue, water-soluble areas, neurons, etc. That, along with the concentration of the toxin and the oxidation, determines the disease. It's that simple. All toxins, 100% of toxins, cause their toxic damage by directly oxidizing or causing to be oxidized biomolecules. That's it.
They oxidize.
And when you come along with vitamin C, yep, or other good antioxidants, you can do two things. You can reduce or donate electrons back to the oxidized biomolecules, rendering them fully functional once again in a normal fashion. Mm-hmm. Or you can donate the electrons directly to the electron-seeking toxin and render it neutral. It's that simple.
Wow. So you're giving electrons back to the molecule, the biomolecule, or to the toxin itself, which is negatively charged.
I often joked that the best therapy you could possibly give a sick child, or anybody else for that matter, would be a teaspoonful of electrons.
Oh, positive electrons.
Yeah.
So let's go deeper. Oxidation. So if you're on a game show, what are the top five things that we do in our culture, we intake to oxidize the biomolecules?
Wow, it's like I teed you up for that question.
I did. I just teed right up there.
It's first and foremost, well, toxins come from any form of pollution. So this is when you have impure water, impure air, impure food.
Yeah.
These are all sources of toxins for everybody. But far and away, and this goes back to the book that you talked about earlier, Hidden Epidemic, the far and away most significant source of a large amount of extremely potent toxins that just spew into your body, as the young people say, 24/7, are oral cavity infections.
Oral? Wow.
Infections all cause their problems by producing toxins and prooxidants, okay? A prooxidant is anything that's been oxidized. It's lost electrons, so the only way to deal with it and make it non-toxic again is to give it electrons. So except for the cases where an infection, maybe a virus, something like that, actually causes so much oxidative stress and oxidizes so many biomolecules that you lose tissue integrity and you bleed out, so you die from bleeding. If an infection doesn't take out a blood vessel or something else that would have a catastrophic mechanical effect, 100% of the toxicity and morbidity of an infection is the fact that it massively increases your systemic body-wide oxidative stress, the number of biomolecules that have been oxidized. And until you get in enough nutrition, enough antioxidants, slow the infection down, you're either going to proceed to enough oxidative stress to die, or you're going to finally get on the other side of the pendulum and start bringing in more electrons than you're taking out. And when you have an infection in a tooth, like the root canal treated tooth, or you have an asymptomatic abscess on your tooth, which is what Hidden Epidemic discusses a great deal, because this is an extremely common entity worldwide. And I would submit to you the primary cause and accelerator of really virtually all chronic degenerative disease. Although I just mentioned heart disease and breast cancer because those two are the best documented scientifically. So you have infected teeth, infected gums, infected sinuses, and infected tonsils. And that's something we might be able to address a little bit more, because the tonsils are what I call wimpy immune organs. They can deal with a small amount of infective or oxidative stress, such as maybe a transient gum infection. But when you infect a tooth and never really address the tooth, like a root canal or like an asymptomatic abscess tooth, what's happening 24/7 is your tonsil, especially on that ipsilateral same side, is continuing nonstop 24/7 to drain the toxins and pathogens, filter them, if you will, coming from the tooth or the gum or the tonsil. And when this occurs, you have the stage set for your heart attack. You have the stage set for your cancer. And the really bad thing about the tonsils in particular, I mean, the teeth we can identify. You know where you had a root canal done. You can do the three-dimensional cone beam examination of the mouth and see if there's any asymptomatic infected teeth. But so far, we don't really have any good diagnostic tests for the tonsils, but we do have the evidence from the 1950s by Dr. Joseph Issels, who treated very many advanced metastatic cancer patients in Germany in the 50s. He found that virtually all of his patients had one or more, usually several, chronically infected teeth in the form of root canals or asymptomatic abscesses. And he got a great deal of good response to his protocol for cancer when those teeth would come out and properly cleaned. But he also continued to see a significant percentage of patients still proceed to go ahead and have heart attacks as the reason that they died. And I don't know how Dr. Issels got this idea in his head, but I really don't. But he started routinely doing tonsillectomies on these patients as well. And mind you, he noted that the tonsils looked morphologically normal. They did not look like chronically abscessed or tonsillitis tonsils. They looked normal on the outside. And I'm taking Dr. Issels at his words. These are not my words, but he said 100% of the tonsils were abscessed and severely infected. And when he started getting the tonsils out, all the heart attacks that were occurring spontaneously went by the wayside. So something that's not emphasized enough is when you have had these chronically infected teeth into your mouth for a significant period of time, odds are you have infected tonsils or not.
Okay.
But getting a tonsillectomy as an adult. Okay, go ahead.
No, that's all right. That's all right, yeah. This is very, very cool. Interesting. Okay, let's put tonsils on the side for a second, okay? And because we'll come back to that.
All right, sure.
Come back to that. So can you explain to us on the infection side what goes on to cause the heart attacks? Are you talking about atherosclerosis or myocardial infarction?
Yes. Both of them.
Both.
Wow.
The thing about the heart that makes it so uniquely susceptible, if you look at the body anatomically, there's really nothing more remote from the mouth than the endothelium inner lining of the coronary artery on the arterial side of the blood system and not the venous supply of the blood system. That's just about as far away as you can get. But let's trace what happens. When you chew on infected gums or infected teeth, you generate enormous pressures. Very difficult to reproduce those pressures under any other circumstances, but chewing between your molars, you can generate incredible pressures. Well, what happens then when you have pathogens and toxins contained, relatively contained, at the apex of the teeth, and you chew on it? Well, you're doing a better job than if you hooked up an IV with an IV line and you had a syringe filled with toxins and pathogens. You will do a better job of getting those pathogens and toxins into the lymphatic drainage and the venous draining blood supply of that tooth every time you chew. So what happens, we can address the lymph in a moment, but what happens when it goes into the venous blood supply? The venous blood supply is low pressure, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 millimeters of mercury, no more, normally. So the pathogens and toxins get into the venous system. There's no pressure trying to push them or embed them anywhere. They make their way into the pulmonary circulation, drain into the pulmonary venous system, into the pulmonary arterial system. Now, pulmonary artery still has the same low pressure, not to be confused with a regular artery. Pulmonary artery comes around, drains into the left atrium, low pressure, goes into the left ventricle, and then the moment the left ventricle contracts, you go from 10 millimeters of mercury to 110, 120, 150, 170, 190, 200, depending on the patient's systolic blood pressure. And you have the coronary artery that takes up 25% of the cardiac output. So the first area exposed to these pathogens and toxins and being embedded by high systolic blood pressure is the coronary artery. And we have the information, very solid. In one study, 38 out of 38 atherectomy specimens, that's when you go into the coronary artery and you actually roto-rooter out the plaque. You sort of carve it out. They analyze the plaque in 38 people. All 38 had high concentrations of a wide variety of oral pathogens.
I need to keep you close to the microphone. You kind of keep fading on me sometimes.
Okay, all right, sure.
Yeah, see if you can get as close as you can to that mic. So they did. They cut out the plaque out of 38 arteries, and they all had these pathogens that were began in the mouth.
Yes, that's correct. Now, in case anybody's wondering, there should be no pathogens of any kind in your coronary artery. Yet you have a high concentration of oral pathogens inside these plaques. And we have the cardiologist saying, finally, inflammation causes all coronary artery disease. But hello, they don't want to ask why the inflammation occurs.
Yeah, why is it there?
The inflammation occurs because you have pro-oxidant pathogens doing their metabolism, producing their low levels of toxins. What do toxins do? They oxidize. When you oxidize, you consume the vitamin C present locally, trying to neutralize that oxidation. And when you do this, all inflammation, 100%, focally is attended by a focal vitamin C deficiency. So you actually cause an acute and then eventually chronic state of scurvy inside the coronary artery. And if the pathogens are never identified, never stopped, you never address the infected teeth, whatever, then your acute process becomes chronic. Now, what happens when you have inflammation inside the coronary artery? Well, your immune system is mobilized. When you signal or mobilize your immune system, the first cell, immune cell, that comes to the site of inflammation is the monocyte. The monocyte, in addition to the neurons in the body, have the highest concentration of vitamin C anywhere in the body. They have 80 to 100 fold. That's 8,000 to 10,000% more vitamin C than the blood.
Wow.
So I would present to you, the cells are coming in trying in vain to supply vitamin C to an area where it's being chronically metabolized. And until you take care of what's causing it, the problem doesn't get resolved. And guess what? The immune system response then becomes the disease. More immune systems come in. Then you start getting the fibrosis. Then you start getting the plaque buildup. It's all due to that. And we also have a lot of evidence to show that when you can get rid of the chronic infection coming into the arteries, not only do you stop atherosclerosis, when you start supplementing intelligently with good antioxidants, including vitamin C, you can reverse and sometimes resolve atherosclerosis if it hasn't been too advanced.
Yeah.
So I would submit to you my personal opinion. Okay, I want to emphasize this is my personal opinion. My personal opinion is the primary role of the immune system in the body is to bring vitamin C and other antioxidants to the places that need them most. Everything else is an embellishment upon that.
So the plaque and the stuff that clogs it up, is it the body and the cholesterol and the calcium and all that trying to repair the inflammation? Is that what's the classic atherosclerosis?
I guess you could say trying to repair. It's a natural response to what the body is doing to an area of chronic colonization or infection that won't stop being colonized and infected. So
yeah.
It very well, you could say that the cholesterol and the calcium and all are aspects of atherosclerosis that are compensatory processes run amok, and the compensatory process beyond a certain point becomes the disease. It's kind of like if you don't have enough vitamin C, for example, to synthesize enough collagen to make your blood vessel strong, just like a tire, you can start getting a bulging out, an aneurysm, a weakness of the wall. Well, if the body doesn't have vitamin C to make more collagen, what's it going to do? It's going to do its level best to put something else in there to keep the blood vessel from enlarging and rupturing. And that's one theory as to what the atherosclerotic plaque is trying to do. It's trying to repair an artery in the absence of what it needs the most, which is more vitamin C.
I see. Dr. Thomas Levy is with us. Wow, this is great stuff. Stay right there, Doc. Dr. Thomas Levy, we're going to take a quick little break here. His website is peakenergy.com, a lot of different books. I would readily recommend this Hidden Epidemic and work through this one, and you really understand a lot about your body. We're going to talk more about the whole mouth infection thing. We're going to get into root canals, all kinds of stuff, back to tonsils. Also, what kinds of vitamin C are the best that he likes, and antioxidants. And if you have a question, patrick@oneradionetwork.com. patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Previously with Dr. Richard Ulrey and the relationship to the bacteria in our gut, to everything,
there's tremendous communication between the gut bacteria in the brain through the vagus nerves.
Oh.
The brain doesn't necessarily make a lot of stuff. It needs, it's kind of like living on Hawaii. Everything has to be imported. 80% of what your brain needs is actually made by the gut bacteria for your brain to properly function and to regulate the rest of the body. Your gut bacteria is designed to make all of your vitamins. So if you're giving your patients vitamins, that means your gut bacteria is not making the vitamins for the body in question. I said, assuming you straighten out the gut and we bought all the right bacteria doing all the right things, making vitamins, the reason you need vitamins is so you can absorb minerals.
Ah, that's great. We're learning so much. We've always known the bacteria being important, but more and more. Wow. These Living Streams probiotics we're promoting, we believe they are some of the most bioactive, varied, unique human DNA probiotics in glass liquid available anywhere. All the products in our store, click on one Living Streams and you'll get access to them all on OneRadioNetwork.com. Our friend Wayne Blakely has been working on these probiotics and he started helping his young child with autistic behavior heal, and that's what, and he's an incredible researcher. He's been doing it for 25 years. He's just using probiotics that are for the human body. He doesn't put about 25 or 50 different ones like a lot of the probies in. He has done massive amounts of research. These babies are living, they're alive, and they'll work in all kinds of different ways. And he's done some creative things with them where he's actually had like a product, for example, zeolite, where he's putting zeolite in one and getting zeolite in there. The Perfect Molecule has got the C60 in a probiotic form. The Chibide has the high CBD stuff and is great for sleep. He's got the Bifido, which is a way to get yttrium into your body. And we know that yttrium is really critical to absorb different things. And it comes from a special kind of turmeric out of India, where they still have a lot of they have a lot of bugs and a lot of microbiomes in the portions of the soil out there, and that's what makes the old yttrium thing work. And you can put some of these in your ear and go right to the small intestine. Check out our store, Living Streams, in our store, all the different products. You can talk to Marilyn as well. Her number is 360-912-2981. She's a co-conspirator with Wayne Blakely, 360-912-2981. She can answer a lot of questions. Living Streams in our store. We got a cool little thing going on just for today for those of you like to take advantage. Daniel Vitalis, I just got in my email this morning. Daniel's a cool guy. He has Sirthrival. He's been making products for about 15 years. Really, really nice products. Pine pollen, elk velvet antler, colostrum, and all in Myron glass, and the shaga and the reishi. Just use the fruiting bodies. I mean, it's really high-end products. The Taboo is a really special kind of aphrodisiac thing that you could play around with you and your significant other. And so we've got a little special today if you'd like to get involved with it. I'll just throw it out there a couple times while we're talking to Dr. Levy. If you buy Taboo today, you can get the Pure Potency, which is the high-end pine pollen, for 50% off. Wow, that is a good deal. So just go to our Sirthrival link anywhere on Sirthrival, click on that, and get yourself a bottle of Taboo, and you'll get the Pine Pollen Pure Potency, we call the 4Ps, 50% off. Use the promo code BESEXY, B-S-E-X-Y, B-S-E-X-Y. So that's a pretty cool thing. If you'd like to try the Pure Potency, you've been hearing me talk about it. I've been taking it for years, and my T levels are very, very excellent, in excellent shape, and I'm 72 revolutions around the sun. And you know, these high T centers are, you know, the low T centers are popping up all over the world because, you know, well, whatever, I won't. But any Pure Potency and elk velvet antler, I think, will do you guys up south of the border. Get Taboo, and that's a special thing for you and her, or her and him, or whatever, her and her, you know, whatever. And then 50% off on Pure Potency to get Taboo. Use the promo code BESEXY on any Sirthrival link. Previously with chemist, biologist, and nutritionist George Altgeld, we asked him this. And so what do you think about Dr. Seneff's contention that as these glyphosates are in the soil, they bust the self-recycle, and that's really detrimental to the body.
It's extremely detrimental. Sulfur is such an important detoxifying agent for the entire body, and especially for the liver. You've got to have trace minerals so that the liver can build these compounds that are essential for getting itself cleaned. And that lady who was talking about sulfur, man, play that ad every chance you get, because our foods are so deficient in sulfur, and it is a big deal for the liver to have enough sulfur to make all those compounds that it uses to detoxify itself. Not just sulfur, they're all important, but sulfur is the one that we're so deficient in, and we need sulfur.
Thanks, George. I had some this morning. You might want to give it a try. You can click an order right on the front page of OneRadioNetwork.com. 3 locations, 3 prices delivered. And if you like more than £4 for a discount, email me, Patrick, at OneRadioNetwork.com.
Know the source on One Radio Network.
We're having a good time talking with Dr. Thomas Levy. He's an MD and also an attorney. We don't normally allow even attorneys on the show, Doc, so we're making a, you know, exception for you. You know that.
Well, I like to say when people say you're a physician and an attorney, what the heck is going on? I just say, what can I say? I'm severely confused, and I'm trying gradually to become a member of every group I hold in the lowest esteem.
There you go. I think I even got you a little bit too closer to the mic. You can back off just a hair.
Oh, okay. All right.
We're getting some popping, and I got this audio thing. It's in my brain. What can I tell you? I'm just an audio geek. Just be comfortable there. Yeah. Oh, wow. So I got so many questions. You've said such really cool things. What is the asymptomatic, abscess? Yeah. So that's an abscess that's going on that we don't know is going on, and you say there's a lot of that going around?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, this was what caused me to write Hidden Epidemic. A good friend of mine was at the dentist. I was helping her out. Well, actually, she doesn't mind being identified. I've worked with the liposome vitamin C for some time, and she worked for that product in the company as well. And following my advice, she was going to get these root canals taken out. And she had a 3D cone beam x-ray done.
Yeah.
And when it flipped up on the screen, this is about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago now, from across the room, I said, that last tooth there, do you have a root canal on that? She said, no. I said, oh my God, I think you have another tooth that needs to come out, because I could see from 20 feet that there was a huge abscess at the top of this tooth and the maxilla, the upper jawbone, that had completely eroded away the bony wall of the sinus and was filling the sinus with mucus and pus, and she had a lot of sinus problems as well. And I said, come on, that tooth must hurt, right? She said, no.
No.
I said, you chew on it all the time, no problem? No, no pain. And that was when the light went on, and I said, my God, you can have a grossly abscessed tooth and have it be pain-free. And so I hit the literature, and I found out that this is called, just a fancy name, chronic apical periodontitis, but basically it just means an abscess at the apex of your tooth. And in the world literature, it turns out that when they start using this advanced technology, this x-ray technology, they're finding abscessed teeth on the order of a little bit less than 10% of all adult teeth.
Wow.
I said, oh my God. And it turns out even most dentists think that abscesses are going to hurt. Well, guess what? 96, 97, 98 out of 100 abscesses are completely pain-free. What causes pain is how quickly tissue gets put on the stretch. So if you suddenly get an infection inside your tooth, and over the course of, let's say, 3 or 4 or 5 days, the abscess grows, then that's putting a lot of pressure on that tissue. That's what causes the pain. However, when in the course of aging, you split your tooth, doesn't hurt, but a few bacteria get in the on the inside, the pulp of the tooth, and very gradually, over the course of several months to maybe even a year or more, the area finally becomes necrotic and you develop an abscess. That abscess did not develop quickly, obviously, and that is the whole reason whether you have pain. So they're pain-free. But they're not toxin-free. That's the bad part. Even though they're pain-free, they are statistically more toxic than a root canal.
Wow. Okay. More toxic.
And this I would like to clarify because I know on the movie Root Cause, I even made the comment it would be great if the root canal procedure eventually becomes obsolete. I do want to modify that a little bit because we have studies now that show, believe it or not, that a well-done root canal is substantially less toxic than an untreated abscess tooth. Now, obviously, the safest thing for the body is to get rid of that infection completely or extract the tooth.
Take it out.
But there's a lot of people that, A, don't have much money, and they don't want to get an implant, and the tooth doesn't hurt, so they don't want you to extract it. And when the patient puts all those restrictions on you and says, you can't extract the tooth, I'm not giving you permission, do the next best thing for me, then an expertly done root canal is the way to go. Add to that, and this is my big bone of contention with endodontists and root canal performing dentists in general, do some doggone studies. We know absolutely that there are people that have root canals that live well for decades and no problem at all. And we have other patients who get a root canal and 6 months later they get a heart attack. So there is clearly a difference in quality of the root canal, how well it's sealed, and something else we can talk about a little bit more, the status of their thyroid and sex hormones. When your sex hormones are low or your thyroid is just a little bit low, focal infections metastasize.
What? Focal
when they're perfectly normal, for the most part, focal infections stay put, okay? And this is obviously highly critical because the body has a lot of defense mechanisms, and one of them is to wall off infections when you have enough hormonal support, okay? This has to be checked with like reverse T3 levels, which are also indices of increased systemic oxidative stress, CRP levels, fibrinogen levels. The endodontists need to do a study. We already have the study in the Journal of the American Dental Association that says, without qualification, if you have one or two root canals or more in your mouth, you have an increased chance of heart attack, period. That's in their journal. But there's no differentiation as to what's going on with the root canals. Does the root canal have an enlarging abscess at its tip? Is the CRP 4 rather than 0.5? Is the fibrinogen high rather than low? Is the reverse T3 elevated or normal? I think, and this is just an opinion, when you have an expertly done root canal with a high volume endodontist, I do not believe regular dentists that do a much lower volume should be doing this procedure at all. And you do some of the current techniques with laser to minimize, not eliminate, the infective load and seal it off well, and the CRP does not elevate post-procedure, and even more significantly, if it was elevated pre-procedure and comes down, all of those, in my opinion, while maintaining normal thyroid and normal sex hormone status, you may well finally be able to define a root canal that statistically is not going to do any substantial harm. But you've got to be tracking blood work. The endodontist just going to have to practice a little bit of medicine or a little bit of common sense. You just can't be procedure oriented. I'm going to do the procedure If it doesn't work, I'll do it again. That's another thing that should be discontinued completely are repeat root canals. If you couldn't get it right the first time, don't subject the patient to months or years of disseminating pathogens and toxins just because your pride was wounded and you think you can do a better job on the root canal the second time. The canals go all over the place, and if you don't seal it right the first time, odds are you're going to seal it right the second time. The other thing that's big in endodontics is denying people the right to just request to have a root canal out. Now think of this.
I know. Yeah.
The patient had the right to say, don't extract my tooth now, go ahead and do a root canal. But once they do a root canal, they've lost the right to extraction. That makes no sense at all.
Yeah. Dr. Stuart Nunley did a peer-reviewed study on root canals, and I think every one that he submitted, and they were pretty picky about the, which ones he could put in, as you know, peer-reviewed thing. They were all toxic, all the ones that he had tested, and they came up with all kinds of weird things. I mean, stuff like...
No, wait, let me stop you there just for a moment, Patrick. 100% of root canals are infected.
Okay. 100%.
And the toxins are very severe. So all I'm talking about right here is the parameters that determine to a great degree whether the toxin is contained or allowed to disseminate.
I got you.
Okay?
Yeah.
So what no, you described, they're all infected.
What
100%.
You described is in special cases that people do the blood work, they have a good endo, and they really want to do a root canal, you're saying that they could possibly get away with it if they really are careful. Possibly.
Yes. Well, okay. I mean, we do know there's a lot of folks out there that have had root canals
for
decades and they don't get heart attacks.
Yeah.
And like I said, others do and they get them very rapidly. Let me mention this one study. Back in the 1970s, Dr. Broda Barnes treated minimal hypothyroidism. Now, listen to this. He had 1,500 patients. They had diabetes. They had high blood pressure. They had all the different chronic degenerative diseases. They smoked, okay? The same incidence of root canals was in this population, which meant a very large number of them had root canals. But he had his own way of monitoring thyroid function by doing basal body temperatures, and he treated them with desiccated thyroid extract. Over a course of 20 years in an adult population with all these diseases, he had 4 people have heart attacks.
When he had their TSH levels and everything happy.
Right. When he had the thyroid function adjusted perfectly fine, virtually nobody got a heart attack.
Huh.
Now, when you consider the fact, and the data is presented at Hidden Epidemic, that I make the case that well over 95% because of the nature of the atherosclerotic plaque of heart attacks are caused by dissemination of pathogens from the mouth. This is a mind-numbingly low number of heart attacks. When you look at the Framingham study and the similar population over a similar period of time, there should have been 80 heart attacks, not 4.
Not 4. Because the thyroid is doing what when it's operating perfectly?
I would put it this way.
Okay.
The thyroid gland is the master regulator of the degree of metabolic function, you know, high, normal, low. Okay, just like the thermostat on your house. Now, when you have low thyroid function, there's also a lot of studies that show a lot of different life-threatening infections are much higher in hypothyroid people and tuberculosis and all these other conditions. So low thyroid function sets the stage for an infection to take hold and increase oxidative stress even more. It's my opinion, I don't have proof on this, but it's my opinion that finally adjusting thyroid function in the same fashion that it makes focal infection unwelcome to disseminate elsewhere, I think also when you can normalize or bring way down systemic oxidative stress by normalizing thyroid function, you will not only prevent cancers from metastasizing the same way that focal infections metastasize, you will also make many more cancer patients become completely quiescent, and they can end up coexisting with their cancer for a normal lifetime, even though it never gets eliminated.
Dr. Thomas Levy, so I would be remiss as a talk show host if I didn't ask you, and before we move on from thyroid, which is fascinating, what are some of the numbers that you're most keen on looking at? And also then talk about the body temperature, how accurate in the morning, if you put a thermometer in your mouth, does it really want to be a 98.6 in your mouth and 97.6 under the arm?
Well, those are great questions. Let me tell you, with regard to blood work.
Yeah, let's talk blood work first.
You have to first remember that all blood work doesn't necessarily have a normal range. It's got a reference range. So
right,
this is sure. What the laboratories statistically put at the population in, and they're going to fall in that line. So you have a lot of wide ranges, but by no means is everything in that range normal. Not even close. They're basically doing a statistical analysis of as a whole, chronically sick population of people with a lot of infected teeth, on a lot of prescription medications, with a lot of chronic infections, taking in a lot of toxins. So it's not exactly like you're dealing with the theoretical normal person. So for the CRP, they tell you that the reference range is 0 to 3. Well, if you've got a 3, you're getting pretty close to getting a heart attack right there, I'll tell you. And if it goes up to a 4 or 5, you've got cancer or some other severe, undiagnosed state increasing your body-wide inflammation. And they do have studies that show when your CRP gets above 3, your chance of heart attack shoots up. But they're still dealing with ranges. I'm going to tell you that you're really only in good shape on your systemic body-wide inflammation when your CRP is below 1.0 and preferably below 0.5.
Okay. All right.
I don't have a reference range for you, but similarly, you want a low level of fibrinogen. That's also an important inflammatory parameter. One other thing about the CRP, though, is when you measure it, you can't be having a cold or some other acute problem because it's a acute inflammatory marker, and it can skyrocket in the middle of a cold or something like that. So you have to be at whatever you consider to be your baseline of normal health when you get this test done.
Okay. Let's go thyroid. TSH, you have a number you really would like to see?
No. I throw all of the regular thyroid tests out the window.
Oh,
all they do is mislead.
Good for you. Well, I'm going to throw mine out there now.
Regular thyroid tests are designed to detect any degree of hyperthyroidism and only massive degrees of hypothyroidism. For the most common and most devastating situation, which is minimal, chronic, undiagnosed hypothyroidism, they're almost useless. Now, what we have, and what a lot of people don't realize, even the endocrinologist, is that T4, which is converted to T3, the active form of thyroid hormone for the most part, T4, yes, is produced in the thyroid gland, but guess what? Only 15% of that T4 is converted to T3 inside the thyroid gland. 85% of that T4 gets converted to T3 in every cell of your body by virtue of enzymes called deiodinases. Now, when you have a lot of pre-existing oxidative stress impairing and oxidizing those deiodinase enzymes, you don't convert thyroid the way it should, and you get a false form of thyroid by taking off the wrong iodine off your T4, they're called reverse T3. Reverse T3 is like a blank key. You put it in and nothing happens, but it still occupies that space and keeps active T3 from occupying it. So the most important thing is to measure reverse T3 and compare it by ratio to regular T3. And once you do all the modifications of the type of the whether it's nanograms per cc or whatever, on the same scale, it should be 20 to 1.
Okay.
When you start getting 17 to 1, 16 to 1, a lot of people down in 13, 12, 11 to 1 type ranges of regular T3 over reverse T3, you're talking about a lot of illness. You're talking about a lot of chronic oxidative stress. Now, the important thing also to remember, though, is your thyroid per se is not the important thing. It's the thyroid status. You really have several trillion thyroid glands in your body. Every cell of your body is processing the thyroid from the less active to the active form, okay? Now, you know, you can have severe thyroid gland disease, and I'm not saying that's not going to impact you, but you're really never going to have severe thyroid disease and have a normal reverse T3 level. So the reverse T3 level is going to give you a good idea as to whether you should be supplementing with thyroid extract or T3. But for goodness sakes, don't supplement or don't take T4 as a treatment, which of course is the most common. It's Synthroid. What did I just say? What I just said is the problem is converting T4 to T3. So giving a ton of T3 is not going to be the way to get it.
No, a ton of T4.
To get the T4 to T3.
Okay. Oh, taking a no. Did you misspeak and say taking a ton of T3 when you said if you take
a ton of T4.
T4. Okay. I wanted to get. So in a perfect world, then is the T3 uptake the top number of the equation?
And not T3 uptake, free T3.
Free T.
Free circulating triiodothyronine over the reverse triiodothyronine level. No, not T3 uptake.
Oh, triiodothyronine free serum.
Right, exactly.
That's on the top number.
That's the top number.
And the bottom number is reverse?
Is reverse T3.
And what's that ratio you want to see?
It should be at least 19, 20 to 1. Or a little bit more. When you start getting lower, that's indications of increasing oxidative stress in your body and decreased thyroid function and the ability for focal infections to start losing their containment and disseminating.
The top number should be 20 times the bottom number?
That's right.
Whoa. Okay.
Yes. Now, you asked a little something about temperatures, and that's, we have some devices now that are available I don't know if they were available back in Dr. Barnes's day. What you mentioned about armpit and mouth and all, if you're really patient and you can track the temperature, I don't want to be held to this, but I think you want 97.4, 97.6 or higher. When it's consistently below that or below 97, you're pretty much hypofunctioning on the thyroid level.
That's under the arm, right?
Well, what I want to say is they now, for like about $50, you can buy on Amazon a laser thermometer gun. Wherever you point the laser, you see the little red dot, it'll measure a temperature. And they use this for industrial purposes to see if part of a machine is overheating, that sort of thing.
I've seen those, yeah.
Highly accurate. What you need to do is you basically, like it's some sort of mobster movie, you open your mouth and put your lips around the top of it and give it a quick pop, and that's your temperature. You just have to be really careful that you didn't have anything cool to drink. And you should have had your mouth shut for a while. You shouldn't do, I mean, it's incredible. Let's say like I'm right now, I'm talking a lot, air is going back and forth in my mouth. That'll drop the temperature 1 or 2 degrees if you just measure it right after a long bunch of talking. So just keep your mouth shut, don't have anything to drink for 5 minutes, and then open your mouth, do a quick pop, and you'll have an accurate temperature, much more accurate than otherwise.
And where would you want that to be in a perfect world?
You want that to be 97.6 to probably 98.4, 98.6.
I see. So even a degree lower than 98.6, you're still not necessarily hypothyroid.
Right.
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 Yeah. Yeah. So the desiccated thyroid, like the nature thyroid, does that have all the components that work best to get things happy? And there are some people doing very low doses of just T3. What's the difference there?
I don't know that anybody has ever investigated the clinical impact, but yes, desiccated thyroid has T1, T2, T3, and T4 in it.
Everybody.
Do you really need all of those other forms? I don't know. The only thing we have significant data on is the T3 and the data on the fact that when you take just D4, a lot of people, I can't give you a percentage, but a lot of people, hypothyroid, are very refractory to synthroid therapy. And here's another bugger about it. That synthroid therapy may well make your regular thyroid functions normal, and the patient's going to complain to the doctor, I still don't feel well. And then the doctor says, well, it's just something else, or you need more rest. Your thyroid functions are fine.
Yeah.
And in fact, you're still quite hypothyroid in the cells throughout your body.
So you would experiment, patients would experiment and get that ratio 20-1 and whatever that would take.
Yeah. And the other thing that's important to remember, too, is when you're let's say you have a focal infection somewhere, an infected tooth, and you get it extracted and everything heals up. Remember that your thyroid status can change because you've taken away the huge amount of oxidative stress being disseminated, oxidizing those deiodinases. And unless you continue to recheck, you might have a patient that on whatever amount of thyroid you have them, they start becoming hyperthyroid because you're now continuing to give thyroid in a situation where what was inhibiting the thyroid has been removed. So you shouldn't just get on a dose of thyroid and stay on it for life. It's a very dynamic type of thing. The thyroid gland, too, sits right below what? Your hugely toxic pathogen-filled mouth. So this is something that doesn't get stressed either, but the thyroid is a very strong filter for all the garbage inside your mouth as well, and I think is the primary reason for so many of these idiopathic thyroiditis or subacute thyroiditis type conditions is the thyroid is having to deal as a first-line defense much more than the rest of your body against all the toxins and pathogens contained in your mouth.